come, bowing down before your throne. We know that we could never repay all we owe, but you said that we could come before you as we are, as we are.
In Matthew 24:15, Jesus said to his disciples, "The day is coming when you will see what Daniel the prophet spoke about. Whoever reads, let him understand." The following is a presentation of the Heart to Heart Bible study titled Daniel, A Man of Purpose, Prayer, and Prophecy, a teaching through the historical and prophetic book of Daniel. More information is available on our website at www.refugefamily.com/women's ministry.
Okay, are we ready with our memory verse where we get to praise the living God, right? The Ancient of Days. Here we go. He was given authority, glory and sovereign power. All nations and peoples of every language worshiped him. His dominion is an everlasting dominion that will not pass away. And his kingdom is one that will never be destroyed. Daniel 7 verse 14, NIV. Okay, let's praise him, all right? Let's do it. He was given authority, glory and sovereign power. All nations and peoples of every language worshiped him. His dominion is an everlasting dominion that will not pass away. And his kingdom is one that will never be destroyed. Daniel 7 verse 14, NIV. There you go. Okay, so now we're going to get our Daniel hats on, right? We're Daniels. Dare to be a Daniel, dare to stand alone, dare to be a Christian, dare to make it known. Let's do it. Dare to be a Daniel, dare to stand alone, dare to be a Christian, dare to make it known. Yeah. Ladies, how are you? All right, we are in Daniel chapter 7 today, and how many of you found this a challenging chapter? Yeah, I like challenges. Okay, so this is about Daniel's dream. All right, I have dreams. I have very active dreams, all of them, well, most of them. I can't remember a single thing about them. But I know that I was either running or being chased or fighting or something like that. It's always very, very active. So one night I was dreaming that somebody was chasing me or something, and I went to punch him, and suddenly my husband's hand reached out and kept me. I would have punched him right in the face. So that would not have been a good thing. Another time, one of my dreams was I was going to bite this person because he was hurting me, and Vince wakes up and says, "What are you doing?" So thankfully he caught me before I clamped down. But anyway, my dreams have no prophetic value at all. They're not a message from God. I can't remember them, and all they are just weird. But Daniel had a dream. And it was a God thing. It was directly from God. And it seemed frightening to him, and he was greatly troubled. But God had great meaning in this dream. And the cool thing is, this dream that was so many hundreds and hundreds of years ago is for us right now, because this is where our world is. And so we're going to look at that. So let's pray for a second. Father, we thank you so much, Lord, that your word is alive and active, Lord. It was true for Daniel way back when he got this dream, Lord, and it's for us right now. So, Father, thank you for that. I pray, God, that your word would go deep into our hearts today, Lord, and that you would be glorified, and Lord, you draw us closer to you and help us to see what it is that you want us to know today. And Lord, we ask this in your name. Amen. All right, the first six chapters in the book of Daniel are history. All right, in chapter one, we have the deportation of Daniel to a foreign country and this assimilation into Babylon. Chapter two was Nebuchadnezzar's dream, and we're going to refer back to that today. Chapter three was the fiery furnace and Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego in there. Chapter four was Nebuchadnezzar's other dream about the big tree, and you know, eventually he goes into the wilderness and he's acting like an animal and all that. And Daniel had to interpret that dream. Chapter five was Belshazzar and the handwriting on the wall, and Daniel had to interpret that. And then last week, Joy talked about Daniel in the lion's den. So all of those were historical facts. They were things that happened to Daniel, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. The next six chapters are prophecy. And prophecy is a prediction of something to come. And biblical prophecy is the inspired declaration of divine will and purpose. So God has these dreams, and they're prophetic. And for him, he is showing us what his divine will and future is going to be, what our purpose or the purpose of the dream is going to be. So this dream is a message from God, and God was telling Daniel what was going to happen in the future. So let's read Daniel 7, 1 through 3. In the first year of Belshazzar, the king of Babylon, Daniel had a dream and visions of his head while on his bed. When he wrote down the dream, then he wrote down the dream, telling the main facts. Daniel spoke, saying, I saw in my vision by night, and behold, the four winds of the heaven were stirring up the great sea, and four great beasts came up from the sea, each different from the other. All right, so let's look at that for just a second. We see in this dream that there were several things that happened, and this happened in the first year of King Belshazzar. All right, so it didn't happen in sequential order. You know, the book of Daniel is not in order. So this happened back in the handwriting of the wall days, king, his first year. That was Belshazzar. And so Nebuchadnezzar is already gone when Daniel has his first dream. And Daniel had visions and a dream. So what's the difference? A dream is something that you get while you're asleep and you're unconscious, and a vision is you're awake and conscious. So Daniel was on his bed, and he writes down the dream. I thought that was, when we go into all these beasts coming up out of the water and everything, is it not amazing that Daniel actually remembered all these things? And the interesting thing is, he said there that he wrote down the main facts. Does that mean that there were a bunch of other stuff going on, and these just happened to be the main ones? I mean, I think that's pretty awesome. Nebuchadnezzar's dream. This goes back to chapter 2 of Daniel. All right, Nebuchadnezzar had a dream of the big statue, right? Okay. Verses 4 through 6. Okay, what he sees is the four great beasts are coming up from the sea. The first was like a lion, but it had eagle's wings. I watched, and its wings were plucked off, and it was lifted up from the earth and was made to stand on 2 feet like a man, and a man's heart was given to it. All right, so let's go back to Nebuchadnezzar's dream. Remember, the head was gold, and it represents the Babylonian kingdom. The chest and the arms were what color or what metal? Silver. All right. And then the belly and thighs were bronze. The legs were iron. And then the feet were iron mixed with clay. So each of those is going to represent a different empire. So we're going to compare the two. So this is what Daniel, now we don't know if it was that picture or not, obviously, but what he saw was this lion coming up out of this tumultuous water. This beast comes out, it looks kind of like a lion, but he's got wings like an eagle. All right, is that a real thing? Okay, this is group participation. No, no, these are symbolic things. It's not like Daniel is at Bolsa Chica and this lion thing comes out with, okay. The point for there is these are not real, but they are symbols of real things. So this lion comes up out of the sea, and each one of these beasts look a little bit different. So when Nebuchadnezzar was seeing this dream, he was focusing on, and the interpretation was focusing on different metals. Okay. When God sees this same thing now in Daniel chapter 7, he sees those kingdoms as beasts. So God sees things a lot different than what we see things. All right, the first beast, they came in order. Did you think that was interesting? Did you catch that? The first that I saw. So these are not four beasts coming out of the water at the same time. They're coming in order. So the first was the lion. He had wings. This represents Nebuchadnezzar, the Babylonian kingdom. He was prideful. He lost his power, kind of like plucking off the wings of him. He became like a wild animal. And when sanity returned to him, he became a man, and a man's heart was given to him. The second beast is like a bear. Let's read that in chapter in verse 5. And suddenly another beast, a second like a bear. It was raised up on one side, and he had three ribs in its mouth between his teeth. And they said thus to it, "Arise, devour much flesh." So the second beast is strong and vicious, and it looks like a bear. And if you look at bears, you know, they're standing on 4 feet, but he has one side of him raised up. One paw is kind of raised up. And this is symbolic of the Medo-Persian Empire. And these, when Belshazzar saw the handwriting on the wall, remember Daniel interpreted and said, you know, your kingdom, you have been weighed in the balance, your kingdom's been wanting, found wanting, and basically the end of your kingdom is coming. That very night, the Medo-Persians came in and took the kingdom. So the kingdom went from gold to silver in just one night. So now we're talking about this Medo-Persian Empire. So the Medo-Persians were two different groups of people, the Medes and the Persians. Hence the name Medo-Persians. The Persians were much stronger than the Medes. So that symbol of the bear lifting up on one paw, he was more powerful with the Persians. And he has three ribs in his mouth. And as I was doing some research on this, I found that the Medo-Persians conquered three major parts of area. And so that was interesting because he's got three ribs in his mouth, and he is told to arise and conquer. So the Medo-Persians were a very strong empire. The third beast, which is in chapter 6, verse 6, after this I looked, and there was another like a leopard, and he had on his back four wings of a bird, and the beast also had four heads, and dominion was given to it. So after the Medo-Persian, the Grecian Empire comes, and this beast looks like a leopard, and he has four wings like a bird, and leopards are fast, right? And if you add wings of a bird, it's even faster. So this is talking about how fast this kingdom came in. And probably the person that best represents this would be Alexander the Great. When he came in, after his father died, he took over the empire, and he had major war campaigns, and he brought in a lot of land and a lot of areas from the world at that time. And so he expanded the empire for Greece. And the leopard has four heads. This is interesting because when Alexander the Great died, he was only 32 years old when he died. He was married. He didn't know it, but his wife was going to have a baby, but they didn't know that yet. But because he died not knowing that he had an heir, he divided up his kingdom between his four major generals. So that's why this lion has four heads, because Alexander the Great gave dominion to his four leaders. And then, just a side note, has anybody ever seen this guy? Yeah. He is a fairly recent gift to the United Nations. The United Nations calls him United Nations Guardian for International Peace and Security. To me, he looks an awful lot like a leopard with wings. This is not in the lesson here, but just let me tell you, if you look around today, there's an awful lot of stuff that's going on that is really weird. And if you know what the Bible says, it's, oh my gosh, that is that. So anyway, that's that. So let's read Daniel. Good. Daniel, verses 7 and 8. So after this, I saw in night visions, so he's conscious, and behold, a fourth beast, dreadful and terrible, exceedingly strong. It had huge iron teeth. It was devouring, breaking in pieces, and trampling the residue with its feet. It was different from all the other beasts that were before it, and it had 10 horns. In verse 8, I was considering the horns, and then there was another little horn, a little one coming up from among them, before whom three of the first horns were plucked out by the roots. And there in this horn were eyes, eyes of a man, and a mouth speaking pompous words. Okay, this is so obvious to everybody, right? What this is? Okay. There was something different about this beast. The other beast was like a lion, then there was like a bear, and then there was like a leopard. Now we have this thing that he can't even explain. The first three beasts that came up out of the water were like living creatures. They were alive. They were like flesh and blood and fur, I guess. This one is totally different. It was dreadful, terrible, exceedingly strong, huge iron teeth, devouring, breaking, trampling. It was different. The first part of this beast represents the Empire of Rome, the Roman Empire. The Roman Empire lasted about 500 years, and it lasted through Jesus' birth, his life, his death. They were all under Roman rule. And I didn't know how big the Roman Empire was, but at its height, these are the countries that it included. In Europe, England, Wales, Portugal, France, Italy, Austria, Switzerland, Luxembourg, Germany, Belgium, Gibraltar, Romania, Moldova, Ukraine. In North Africa, it included Libya, Tunisia, Algeria, Morocco, Egypt. In the Balkans, it included Albania, Greece, Hungary, Bosnia, Slovenia, Croatia, and Bulgaria, and Turkey. It included the Mediterranean Sea, the Black Sea, Asia Minor, and some parts of Mesopotamia. And in the East, the Middle East, it included Syria, Lebanon, Iraq, Jordan, and Israel. That is a lot of territory. That's a lot of territory. And this is interesting to me because we know in the last days, the man who's called the Antichrist is most likely from one of these countries. All right. So that is how vast the Roman territory was. But however, his feet were made of iron mixed with clay, and those two things don't mix. So the Roman Empire eventually fell apart, which we know. But in the last days now, this is where we're at right now, there's 10 toes. And these 10 toes, the beast, okay, we know they have 10 toes, and we'll talk about those in just a second. The beast has these 10 horns that are rising up from this cold, inhuman kind of a beast. It says these horns arise and plucks out three horns. So this little horn has eyes and a mouth speaking boastful things. All right, so if we look at the picture, can you see the 10 horns on top? Okay, so one of them is like this alive horn, and he's fighting these other things. Okay, if you just think about this picture, it is super weird, and who can tell what it is. But when you see what Bible prophecy is talking about, especially in the end days, it's like, oh my goodness. Okay, this makes sense. All right, the 10 horns show that in the future, there will be 10 predominant kingdoms or kings. The little horn is a picture of the future. It will be a powerful global ruler known as the Antichrist. And he will arise from an area that was once that Roman Empire. So in summary so far, we had the head of gold, which was the Babylonian Empire, and he was represented by the lion with wings. Then we had the chest and arms of silver, and that was the Medo-Persians, and they were represented with a bear, that's super strength. And then you had the bronze, which was the belly and thighs of bronze, and that was like the leopard that got divided into four different ways. And then you have the legs of iron, which was the Roman Empire, and then you have the feet. Now, the scene is going to change. So let's read verses 9 through 10, because we'll come back to the feet in a minute. So 9 and 10. As I watched, the thrones were put in place, and the Ancient of Days was seated. His garment was as white as snow, and his hair on his head was like pure wool. His throne was a fiery throne, its wheels burning fire. And the fiery stream issued and came forth from before him, and 1,000 thousands ministered to him. 10,000 times 10,000 stood before him, and the court was seated, and the books were open. So now Daniel sees a vision of God, the Ancient of Days. That is God. And so he has come from looking at these beasts. Now he sees the reality of God seated on his throne. It shows that God is in control. His garments are as white as snow, which talk about his wisdom and his purity. His hair was like pure wool. If you looked at Revelation 1:14, it's the same exact description of God the Father. His throne is a fiery flame. The wheels were burning. Who knows what that is? I don't know, but there's a bunch of wheels in the Bible. So if you want to see something really weird, read Ezekiel 1. There's some burning wheels there. This fiery stream that's coming out talks about the purity of his presence. And there's 10,000 times 10,000 stood before him. And all this is the scene in heaven, that God is holy. He is white and pure. Myriads of people, of angels are worshiping him. That is what's happening now, and we don't even see it. But by faith, we know that it's there. and the court was seated. Did you know that God has a court? He does. And it says the books were open. Now, this is a little side note. Okay, it's not book, it's books. We know that there's a book of life, all right? He talks about the Lamb's book of life, and is the book, when you get saved, your name is in the book of life. There's a book of remembrance. There's Malachi 3:16. It says that book is recorded all the good things that we've done, or I should say maybe deeds. And the Lord will open that at the Bema Seat judgment when we are given rewards. And then there's apparently a book of sins, and at the great white throne judgment, that's where the unsaved are judged for the things that they've done. All right, let's go to Daniel, verses 11 and 12. I watched then, because the sound of the pompous words which the horn was speaking, I watched till the beast was slain and his body destroyed and given to the burning flame. As for the rest of the beasts, they had their dominion taken away, yet their lives were prolonged for a season and a time. So this is judgment day for the Antichrist, and he will be thrown into the lake of fire. And if you read the book of Revelation, it is an amazing book. And it tells you exactly what's going to happen, you know, who's going to rise up as a global leader, the things that he's going to do. I mean, ladies, we are right there at the door. And it's just amazing. Let's go on to 13 and 14. I was watching in the night visions, and behold, one like the Son of Man coming with the clouds of heaven. He came to the Ancient of Days, and they brought him near before him. Then to him was given dominion and glory and a kingdom, that all peoples and nations and languages should serve him. That would make an awesome song, wouldn't it? Wow. His dominion is an everlasting dominion, which shall not pass away, and his kingdom, the one which shall not be destroyed. Did you know? We did a study on Revelation in our small group not too long ago. And did you know the lake of fire is sometimes called the lake of fire and brimstone? Okay, brimstone is sulfur. When you burn sulfur, do you know what color it is? It's blue. Like a lake, blue. It's like one of those aha moments. That was just in. All right, the rest of the beasts have their dominion taken away, and he sees the Son of Man coming with the clouds. There's the Son of Man coming with the clouds. And if you read Revelation 1:7, it says, behold, he is coming on the clouds, and every eye will see him. So there's what I love so much about the Bible is that I used to think that the Bible was all these individual stories. You got Daniel in the lion's den, you have Adam and Eve in the garden, you have the Noah's Ark, you know, all these separate stories. But it's not like that at all. My aha moment came, you know, a while ago when I realized from the book of Revelation, or from Genesis to Revelation, it is one story that is intertwined. That is amazing. God wrote this, or told his people, inspired them to write this book that is alive, and it meets us where we're at. And it tells us the beginning. It tells us why we needed a Savior. It shows us a Savior, and then it shows us a Savior as God, as, you know, our Redeemer. It's amazing. It's why I love to get into the Word, because you learn something every day. Even though you've read this thing a million times before, you read it again and it's fresh and it's new and it's challenging and it speaks life to us. All right, so there's Jesus. Also in Matthew 24:30, it says that they will see the Son of Man coming on the clouds. In Hebrews, it talks about the great cloud of witnesses, and there's a lot of different references that talk about Jesus coming with the clouds. Even in the rapture, we'll go up to be with him in the clouds. I mean, it's just, okay, so Daniel sees this vision of Jesus. That's the good part of his dream, I think. It says in verse 14 that Jesus receives dominion and a kingdom, and this kingdom includes all people. Every nation, every language, every color of skin, everything, because God so loves the world. John 3:16. So it also says that the kingdom is everlasting. It'll be forever. It won't pass away like the beast kingdoms did. This kingdom shall never be destroyed. All right, verses 15 through 18. And I, Daniel, was grieved in my spirit, within my body, and the visions of my head troubled me. Yeah, I think that would trouble me too, the things that he saw. I came near to one of those who stood by, and I asked him the truth of this. So he told me and made known to me the interpretation of these things. Those great beasts, which are four kings, which arise out of the earth. So what were the four kingdoms? The first one was the Babylonian kingdom, then the Medo-Persian kingdom, then the Grecian kingdom, and now the Roman one. And you realize that Daniel knew nothing about the Greeks and the Romans, right? It was just in the future for him. But the saints of the Most High shall receive the kingdom and possess the kingdom forever and ever and ever. So the thoughts troubled him. Why do you think that Daniel's thoughts troubled him? It was scary. All right? These are things that he's never seen before. He knew nothing about them. So he was troubled and grieved. And he goes to ask somebody, what does all of this mean? I don't understand it. And so the probably an angel tells him, these are the four kingdoms, the same as before that we were talking about, and that the saints of the Most High, who are the saints of the Most High? It's us, those who love Jesus and are called according to his name. We will rule and reign with Christ. Does anybody know when we will start ruling and reigning with Christ?
In his will.
Well, that's talking about the rapture. In his will, yes. Like in children's ministry, if you don't know the answer, you say Jesus or God. 50% of the time, you're right. We're going to start reigning with Jesus during the millennium. What? Just a brief overview of from the rapture of the church, which every single prophecy has been fulfilled. The next one is the rapture of the church. When we go up to meet the Lord in the air, from that moment on starts a 7-year period. 7 years, the Antichrist, this part of this beast, this pompous horn, is going to be, I'm getting ahead of myself. Let's see, do I have the globe? No, okay, there he is. He is just, now, Janie. We know that that is not. He's not going to really look like that. Okay. But this man is going to rise up. He's going to be one of these Roman Empire country people that come up. He's going to be extremely charismatic. Because the rapture has happened, there is total chaos in the world. There's going to be a world war that's going to include Russia, Turkey, and Iran. Watch them go together. They're working together right now. And so he is coming up in the midst of this, and he's going to unite the people and tell them, peace, peace. Oh, yeah, we're going to have an awesome time here. So for 7 years, okay, 7 years, rapture, start the 7 years. At 3.5 years, which is the mid-trib, which remind me of the times and half a time, which is right here. Okay, we'll come to that in a second. At this point, the the Jewish temple will be rebuilt. He comes into the temple and he says, I am God and you will worship me. And the way that we'll know that you are my people is we will mark you. It's the 666 at the mid-trib. Then there's only 3.5 years left. God comes down. He does battle with the enemy at the Battle of Armageddon. And from that point on, Jesus sets up his kingdom on earth for 1,000 years. So that's called the millennium, 1,000 year. And that says in the Bible that we will be ruling and reigning with him. So we'll be on the earth, reigning with God for the millennium, for 1,000 years. All right, so we will rule and reign with Christ during the millennium. So Daniel wants to know the truth about the fourth beast. And verses 19 through 22, he says, then I wish to know the truth. Oh, I wish we knew the truth today, what's going on. I wish to know the truth about the fourth beast, which was different from all the others. He was exceedingly dreadful, and his teeth of iron and his nails of bronze, which he devoured and broke in pieces, and he trampled the residue with his feet. And about the 10 horns which were on his head, and about the other horn which came up from before them. And when the three fell, namely that the horn had eyes and a mouth which spoke pompous words, and the appearance was greater than his fellows. As I was watching, and the same horn was making war against the saints and prevailing against them until the Ancient of Days came, and judgment was made in favor of the saints of the Most High, and the time came for the saints to possess the kingdom. Yeah, yay. So he wants to understand this pompous guy. In Revelation 6:9, it tells us that many people who will become Christians after the rapture, okay, the rapture is a time when those who have been born again will be caught away to be with the Lord. All right? Everybody knows that, right? After the church is taken out, and it's very interesting in the book of Revelation that the candlesticks represent the church. They are not talked about or seen again until the end of Revelation. So that tells us that the church is not going through the tribulation. So after the rapture and this beast comes, there will be many people who knew Christians. They heard about all these things, but they didn't give their heart to the Lord. There will be a huge revival of people who become Christians during that tribulation time. The sad thing about it is that this pompous Antichrist will kill them. They will be martyred. So Revelation 6:19 confirms that. And he will be in charge of power on the earth until the time that the saints are ready to possess the kingdom. So that was in that verse 22. 23 through 25. And so here's I think it's an angel discussing this. Then he said, the fourth beast shall be a fourth kingdom on the earth, which shall be different from all the other kingdoms, and shall devour the whole earth, and trample and break it into pieces. The 10 horns are 10 kings who shall arise from this kingdom, and another shall arise after them. He shall be different from the first ones, and shall subdue 3 kings. He shall speak pompous words against the Most High. He shall persecute the Christians of the Most High. So there's the persecuting the Christians who have come to the Lord after the rapture. He shall intend to change times and law. Then the saints shall be given into his hand for a time, times, and half a time. So here's some additional facts about this Antichrist. He will be a global leader. Right now, if you haven't noticed yet, the world is heading into a global world. The World Economic Forum, which is very interesting to read what they want, They want a single currency. They want a single global world so that one ruler can take charge of the entire earth. That is in the process right now. So that will be a big force when the rapture happens. Another interesting fact is that it is suggested that one world leader would be beneficial to our globe. That's what the World Economic Forum says. The Antichrist will speak against God. So in that 3.5-year period when he says, I am God, all of you will worship me, bow down and worship me, then that is the Antichrist demanding worship, and he's blaspheming the temple. So it says, too, that he will want to change times and the laws. You know what? We see that in America right now. Changing our constitution. Who ever thought? 3 years ago, who would have ever thought? But this person, this man, will change that, and he will look towards the time, times, and half a time. Time, times, half a time, 3.5 years. 3.5 years, he's changing things. All right, let's finish up with 26 through 28. But the court shall be seated, and they shall take away his dominion. Thank God for that. To consume and destroy it forever, he's going to be cast into the lake of fire forever. The book of Revelation says he's going to be cast alive. This is a real man. Yes, he gets his power from Satan, but he's a real human flesh and bones man. He's going to be cast alive into the lake of fire, according to Revelation. Verse 27, then the kingdom and dominion and the greatness of the kingdom under the whole heaven shall be given to the people, to the saints of the Most High. Praise the Lord. His kingdom is an everlasting kingdom, and his dominion shall serve, and all dominions shall serve and obey him. This is the end of the account, Daniel says. As for me, Daniel, my thoughts greatly troubled me, and my countenance changed, but I kept the matter in my heart. All right, so God is going to take care of the things that are coming. I love that Daniel says, this is the end. I was like, I cannot handle any more. This is just one dream, vision, one night. He speaks about the kingdom of God that shall be given to us for 1,000 years here on earth. And then after that, we'll be in heaven for the rest of eternity. His countenance changed. You know, if I had a dream like that, well, Vince wouldn't stand a chance, first of all. But I would be greatly troubled, too, especially if I remembered it all and having to write it down. Remember, these were just the main facts that he wrote down. It's not all the rest of the details. All right, so what can we glean from this? I don't want to just go home saying, oh, my gosh, that, who knows what that was about. There's some things here that we can glean. First of all, God is in control. All this stuff is pre-designed by God. He holds the kings in his hands. It is his will that is done on heaven and earth. So God is in control. And, you know, right now, the world is spiraling out of control really fast. We can hide our head in the sand and say, oh, everything is wonderful. But in reality, it is not, but God is in control. And every day, I know I see something more outrageous than I saw the day before. I thought that was going to be the worst thing. Now they're, what? And then, what? Just terrible things. But God said, when you see these things begin to happen, look up, for your redemption is coming. Jesus is coming back. He is showing us signs. And we have to have our eyes open to see, this is that God was talking about. I've got to get myself ready. I have to make sure that I am, my biggest hope is The day I die, I will serve in my Lord. I want to be found about my Father's business. And every day, I mean, who cares what color paint you use in your house anymore? I mean, seriously, the world is coming to an end, for Pete's sakes. So Isaiah 41:10 says, "Fear not, I am with you. Don't be afraid, for I am your God. I will strengthen you. I will help you." That's Isaiah 41:10. As someone said, things are not falling apart. They are falling into place. And really, girls, they are. These things that we are seeing now in the world, they are falling into God's placement of them. I mean, God is in control is one thing. God is in control. You know, and realizing that is something else. So that's the first thing you can take home with us. God is in control. And then God loves us. This is awesome to me because all of these things are happening, but they're happening and he's showing us because he loves us. He doesn't want us to be like shocked at his coming. He's showing us these are the things that are going to be happening. He's given us a map. He's showing us the, you know, the sights that we need to stop and think about. He loves us. So he's in control. He loves us. And lastly, God has made a way for us. And how did he make a way for us? He made a way for our sins to be forgiven. He made a way for us to go to heaven. He made a way for us not to be afraid. I mean, everything we need to live a godly life, God has made a way and has us in the palm of his hands. I mean, it's just incredible. He has adopted us. We're his children. We should be living for him and excited about it. He's given us his word. And I can't say enough about how important it is to know God's word right now. We don't know if we'll have the Bible 10 years from now. We don't know what's going to happen, but we can get God's word into our hearts right now. So the first dream of Daniel was huge. He saw this as a mystery. It troubled him greatly. So, but God is folding back the curtain right now, and it's not a mystery to us because we see the things happening right now. We can read what God said about them, and it's not a mystery. He's in control. So don't be afraid of what's happening today. Remember, you're greatly loved. As Joy says, God's got this. And what we can say is an old term, Maranatha. Even so, come quickly, God. Amen?
Amen.
Let's pray. Father, thank you for your word. We pray, God, that your word would go deep into our heart, that we would just grab a hold of it, Lord, and help it to guide us. Help us to know that nothing is befalling us that you haven't seen. And you love us. You have us in the palm of your hand. So we are okay. So, Father, thank you for your word. We ask this and we thank you and we praise you in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Thank you, ladies.
Thank you for listening to this Heart to Heart Women's Bible Study recorded at Refuge Calvary Chapel in Huntington Beach. We hope you've been encouraged by today's lesson and will join us again as we continue to study through the Word of God. For more information about the Heart to Heart Women's Ministry, please visit our website at www.refugefamily.com or call our office at 714-891-9495.
Giving up, letting go.